Quite close to the ship, the ice could be seen bending upwards, and occasional jars were felt on board. I am inclined to think that we have set into a cul-de-sac, and that we will now experience the full force of pressure from the south. We have prepared for the worst, and can only hope for the best. A release from the ice with a seaworthy vessel under us. July 18th. This has been a day of events. About 8 a.m. the horizon to the north became clear, and, as the light grew, the more westerly land showed up. This is the first clear day that we have had since the 9th of the month, and we have set a considerable distance to the northeast in the meantime. By meridian altitudes of stars and bearings of the land, which proved to be Coulman Islands, Mount Murchison, and Mount Melbourne, our position shows 78 miles, geographical, northeast by north of Franklin Island. During the last 3 days we have drifted 40 miles, geographical, so there has been ample reason for all the grinding and growling of pressure lately. The ship endured some severe squeezes this day. July 20th. Shortly before breakfast, the raucous voice of the Emperor Penguin was heard, and afterwards two were seen, some distance from the ship. The nearest mainland, in vicinity of Cape Washington, is 90 miles distant, as also is Coulman Island. Franklin Island is 80 miles southeast by south, and the pack is in motion. This is the Emperor's hatching season, and here we meet them out in the cheerless desert of ice. 10:45 p.m. Heavy pressure around ship. Lanes opened and ship worked astern about 20 feet. The wires in the ice took the strain, lashings at mizzen chains carried away, and carried away fair-lead bollard on port side of forecastle head. July 21st, 1 a.m. Lanes opened to about 40 feet wide. Ship in open pool about 100 feet wide. Heavy pressure in vicinity of ship. Called all hands and cut wires at the forecastle head. These wires had remained frozen in the ice after the ship broke away from her moorings, and they had served a useful purpose at some times by checking ice movements close to the ship. 2 a.m. Ship swung athwart lane as the ice opened and the floes on the port side pressed her stern round. 11:30 a.m. Pack of killer whales came up in the lane around the ship. Some broke soft ice, about 1 inch thick, and pushed their heads through, rising to 5 or 6 feet perpendicularly out of the water. They were apparently having a look around. It is strange to see killers in this immense field of ice. Open water must be near, I think. 5:15 p.m. New ice of lanes cracked and opened. Floes on port side pushed stern onto ice, of floe. Floes then closed in and nipped the ship fore and aft. The rudder was bent over to starboard and smashed. The solid oak and iron went like matchwood. 8 p.m. Moderate south-southwest gale with drift. Much straining of timbers with pressure. 10 p.m. Extra hard nip fore and aft. Ship visibly hogged. Heavy pressure. July 22nd. Ship in bad position in newly frozen lane with bow and stern jammed against heavy floes. Heavy strain with much creaking and groaning. 8 a.m. Called all hands to stations for sledges and made final preparations for abandoning ship. Allotted special duties to several hands to facilitate quickness in getting clear should ship be crushed. I'm afraid the ship's back will be broken if the pressure continues, but cannot relieve her. 2 p.m. Ship lying easier. Poured sulfuric acid on the ice astern in hopes of rotting crack and relieving pressure on stern post, but unsuccessfully. Very heavy pressure on and around ship, taking strain fore and aft and on starboard quarter. Ship jumping and straining and listing badly. 10 p.m. Ship has crushed her way into new ice on starboard side and slewed a slant lane with stern post clear of land ice. 12 p.m. Ship is in safer position. Lanes opening in every direction. July 23rd. Caught glimpse of Coulman Island through haze. Position of ship south 14 degrees east, true, 80 miles off Coulman Island. Pressure continued intermittently throughout the day and night, with occasional very heavy squeezes to the ship which made timbers crack and groan. The ship's stern is now in a more or less soft bed, formed of recently frozen ice of about 1 foot in thickness. I thank God that we have been spared through this fearful nightmare. I shall never forget the concertina motions of the ship during yesterday's and Wednesday's fore and aft nips. July 24th. Compared with previous days, this is a quiet one. The lanes have been opening and closing, and occasionally the ship gets a nasty squeeze against the solid flow on our starboard quarter. The more lanes that open, the better, as they form springs when covered with thin ice, which makes to a thickness of 3 or 4 inches in a few hours between the solid and heavier flows and fields. Surely we have been guided by the hands of Providence to have come in heavy, grinding pack for over 200 miles, geographical, skirting the ice-bound western shore around and to the north of Franklin Island, and now into what appears a clear path to the open sea. In view of our precarious position and the lives of men in jeopardy, I sent this evening an aerogram to His Majesty King George asking for a relief ship. I hope the wireless gets through. I have sent this message after much consideration and know that in the event of our non-arrival in New Zealand on the specified date, November 1st, a relief ship will be sent to aid the Southern Party. July 25th. Very heavy pressure about the ship. During the early hours a large field on the port quarter came charging up and, on meeting our flow, tossed up a ridge from 10 to 15 feet high. The blocks of ice, as they broke off, crumbled and piled over each other to the accompaniment of a thunderous roar. Throughout the day the pressure continued, the flows alternately opening and closing, and the ship creaking and groaning during the nips between flows. August 4th. For 9 days we have had southerly winds, and the last 4 we have experienced howling blizzards. I am sick of the sound of the infernal wind. Din, 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 and darkness. We should have seen the sun today, but a bank of cumulus effectually hid him, although the daylight is a never-ending joy. August 6th. The wind moderated towards 6 a.m., and about breakfast time, with a clear atmosphere, the land from near Cape Cotter to Cape Adare was visible. What a day of delights! After 4 days of thick weather, we find ourselves in sight of Cape Adare in a position about 45 miles east of Possession Isles. In this time we have been set 100 miles. Good going. Mount Sabine, the first land seen by us when coming south, lies away to the westward, forming the highest peak, 10,000 feet, of a majestic range of mountains covered in eternal snow. Due west we can see the Possession Islands, lying under the stupendous bluff of Cape Downshire, which shows large patches of black rock. The land slopes down to the northwest of Cape Downshire and rises again into the high peninsula about Cape Adare. We felt excited this morning in anticipation of seeing the sun, which rose about 9:30 local time. It was a glorious, joyful sight. We drank to something, and with very light hearts gave cheers for the sun. August 9th. Donnelly got to work on the rudder again. It is a long job cutting through the iron sheathing plates of the rudder, and not too safe at present, as the ice is treacherous. Hook says that the conditions are normal now. I wish for his sake that he could get through. He is a good sportsman and keeps on trying, although I am convinced he has little hope with this inadequate aerial. August 10th. The ship's position is latitude 70 degrees 40 minutes south, 40 miles north, 29 degrees east of Cape Adare. The distance drifted from August 2nd to 6th was 100 miles, and from the 6th to the 10th, 88 miles. August 12th. By observation and bearings of land, we are 45 miles northeast of Cape Adare, in latitude 70 degrees 42 minutes south. This position is a little to the eastward of the position on the 10th. The bearings, as laid off on a small-scale chart of mnemonic projection, are very inaccurate, and here we are handicapped, as our chronometers have lost all regularity. Donnelly and Grady are having quite a job with the iron platings on the rudder, but should finish the cutting tomorrow. A jury rudder is nearly completed. This afternoon we mixed some concrete for the lower part and had to use boiling water, as the water froze in the mixing. The carpenter has made a good job of the rudder, although he has had to construct it on the quarterdeck in low temperatures and exposed to biting blasts. August 16th. We are backing and filling about 40 miles northeast of Cape Adare. This is where we expected to have made much mileage. However, we cannot grumble and must be patient. There was much mirage to the northward, and from the crow's nest a distinct appearance of open water could be seen, stretching from north-northwest to northeast. August 17th. A glorious day. Land is distinctly visible, and to the northward the black fringe of water sky over the horizon hangs continuously. Hook heard Macquarie Island speaking Hobart. The message heard was the finish of the weather reports.